A lot of times we see things, and when we look for a job, the first thing we look for is what comes with the job. Does it have health insurance? Does it have time off work? What comes with that job? But being in Christ has a lot of privileges, and we're going to look at a few of them today. Now, when I was younger, probably about 10 or 12 years old, I remember sitting in the audience, and the minister would get up in front of the crowd, and he'd get up there, and he'd pull out a towel. This would be a sweat towel. And he'd be getting ready. He'd set it on his big old, behind his big old pulpit, and he would get ready, and you knew you were going to get it that day. Because he would be giving you the hell, fire, and brimstone sermon that you come to expect. And he would spend 20 to 30 minutes pounding in your head how bad a place hell was and why you didn't want to go there. And I don't know if you can remember those sermons, but I remember them time and time and time again. And it was like almost being scared to tell salvation, because he didn't spend a whole lot of time on heaven, but he spent a lot of time on hell, and I knew that was a place I didn't want to go. But tonight I want to just look at the privileges of being a Christian. And I sat down and looked at this the other night, and there's just so many of them. And we start with the basics of the remission of sins. Acts 2:38, everybody knows that passage. Peter said to them, "Repent, each one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Do you remember the time, if you've been baptized here tonight, do you remember the time where you're standing in that water, and you went down, and you came back up? What kind of feeling did you have inside? Do you remember that? For me, I was, I think, 12 years old, almost going on 13. And I was just full of emotion when I went down and came out of that water. Because I knew my sins were washed away. But every once in a while, I like to kind of think back to that time when I was added to the Lord's church in Acts 2:46. But this is, and if I, when I look at Acts 2:46, it kind of reminds me of what, if you look at that passage 46 and 47, it reminds me of what the perfect Christian life should be. It says, "Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those that were being saved." One of the privileges of Christ is being added to the Lord's number. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he has become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." A lot of times, I don't know, about 3 months ago was our last baptism here, but we had a bunch out of camp. And one thing we do, especially out of camp, is we stand around the pool, and whoever's being baptized, we say goodbye. Because they're dying. They're dying to the world that they were born in. And when they come back up, they're raised again, and they become new. When you have a baby, one of the first things that you do with that baby is you give the baby a name. And that's what happens when you come up. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. I'm sorry, the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. I had a little boy come up to me about 2 weeks ago, 8 years old. And I get this from the older kids quite a bit, but I never get it from 8-year-old boys. And the little boy came up to me, he looked at me, he goes, and he was serious, the day is long. He goes, "What's the difference between a Christian and a Methodist?" I'm like, "Okay." And first of all, he caught me totally off guard. I was like, "Okay." I looked at him, and I said, "Well, Methodist is a name, and it's a religion, but a Christian is a child of God. When you come up out of that water with your sins forgiven, you're a child of God. That's your name. You're a Christian. That is a privilege of being in Christ. Because you get to use the name as Christian." Of course, one of the most exciting things is our names are enrolled for heaven. We're on the list. We've made the list. A lot of places you need to get in, you need to check the list. Nope, name ain't there. It's just not there. Our names are enrolled in heaven. We look at Hebrews 12, 22 and 23. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. In Titus 1 and 2, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. God cannot lie, and He promises us our names are written in the book. If you look at Revelation 22, you know that the books were open on Judgment Day, or the books will be open on Judgment Day. If I was sitting there on Judgment Day, I would be pretty nervous if I didn't know my name was in the book. That's something I'd really want to know. Is my name there? Yes, it is. Your name has to be in the book. And that's such a privilege of being in Christ, as your name is written in the book. One privilege that we normally don't look at is with Christians, we have a special love. And sometimes you just have to think about that. And when I read the chapter that was read this morning, 1 Corinthians 13, and as I read the words, I think of people in my mind that as Christians we have that love for one another. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, does not take into account the wrong suffering, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. When Jesus is dying on the cross, He went to the cross. That's the kind of love He had for us. The love that never failed. When I think of different Christians I know, I don't know if you got a chance to read the article I wrote in the bulletin last week under a week at camp. But talked about after a late night Devo, we were sitting around and several people were crying and had tears in their eyes. And I had a group hug with two young ladies. And I'll tell you why I had tears in my eyes in a minute, but I had a tear running down my cheek. One of the young ladies looked up at me, Sarah Carter. I'd never met Sarah before. Took her finger, wiped the tear from my eye, and smiled. That's the first time I met Sarah. The next day, we knew Sarah was going to be baptized. About 15 minutes after that, I went and asked Sarah who was going to baptize her. She said, well, I don't know. I asked her, I said, don't do that. But she said, certainly. So the next day, I baptized Sarah to Christ. But the reason I had tears in my eyes and what I didn't tell you in that article was about a young girl named Mary. Mary Roberts, I met her about a year ago. She's 16 years old now. She is the only Christian in her family. She has been a stronghold in the youth group at the Pleasant Grove Church of Christ in Inverness. And everybody there looks to her for guidance. Her parents do not go to church at all. I believe they're Catholic, if I'm correct. But Mary is a stronghold in that church. And between her and I is a bond that only comes from Christians. And you're only going to get from Christian love. And I don't know how that bond started, and I don't know, you know, a whole lot about it, but for last year we've kept in contact, and Mary could not look at me without crying for some reason. And especially the last day we're there, the last 2 days, she just looks at me and she goes, don't even come near me because I'm going to cry. And that's why I kind of had a tear in my eye when I was hugging her, because I know what she feels in her heart for God. I know the love and the conviction that she has for God. And that's the only, the love only comes from being a Christian. Finally, we have the privilege of bringing souls to Christ. I talked about, you remember when you were in the baptistry, when you were in the pool of water and you were baptized. But one of the greatest privileges I have ever had in my life is to baptize people and bring them into Christ. There's just nothing, the feeling is just uncomparable. You can't compare it to anything. To be the first one there to see their face as they come up out of the water. That's one of the greatest privileges. We look in Revelations 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. It is our job as Christians. I had a class a couple weeks ago about 20 young men. And I said, how many here are baptizing believers? Less than 50%. These were young men, 12, 13, and 14. Less than 50% raised their hand. But I said, the ones that did raise their hand, I said, hold your hand up for a minute. Let's look and see exactly who you are. And I'm not doing this to pick you out around the room or anything, but I want to know who you are. And I want you to know who you are. And they looked around the room. I said, okay, you can put your hands down now. I said, did you guys see who did not have their hands up? They're like, yes. I said, that's your job. I said, don't you forget it. That is your job as a believer in Christ to share the gospel with them. And they're just kind of like, oh, well, nobody's ever told us that. But that is definitely their job. I had a friend that I lived with for 10 years, my roommate. His name was Earl. We'd go to Denny's. Earl would order chicken strips. I would order chicken strips. Earl bought a red 1987 Ford Ranger 4x4 extended cab. 1 month later, same truck. I bought it. Earl moved to Cleveland. Right behind him, I moved to Cleveland. Every single thing he did, I did. We were best friends like you wouldn't believe. But with Earl, I made one mistake. I lived with him for 10 years as a roommate. I did every single thing together with him. But I never sat down and shared the gospel with him. That's my fault. I have to live with that. And I don't know if Earl's going to burn in hell or not. And technically it's not my fault. But I feel responsible for that. 10 years. And I didn't sit down and say, Earl, I'm concerned about your soul. Let's look at the Bible together. Folks, as Christians, we need to know who is not Christians. You say, well, evangelism isn't my thing. I don't want to sit down there and do that Bible study. It's just not my thing. There's so many more ways to do it. Doreen Kisaki came up to me Monday, first week of camp. She had attended one of our evangelism classes here, and she goes, Elvis, I need the verses. Did you bring any of the brochures, any of the pamphlets from the evangelism class? I'm like, no, I thought about bringing them, but I just didn't bring them. Well, I need the verses. So we sat down on a card, 3x5 card, and we wrote down about 8 or 9 verses. You know, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized right next to the verses. She says, okay, that's all I need. And so she sat down with a young lady that she'd never met before. And she just read the verses with her and studied with her. Whether evangelism is our thing or not, we need to make an effort to do what we can to talk to our friends, our neighbors, and the people that we spend so much time with, but yet we never open the Bible. What's going to happen on Judgment Day? When your name is on the list, they're standing over there and their name's not. Would that be your fault? I don't know. But I personally would feel real bad because I had the opportunity to study with him, I had the opportunity to share with him, and I didn't do it. Those are the privileges I found in Christ in my life. The remission of sins, the new life in Christ, the new name, the special love that comes with being a Christian, and the privilege, the honor of sharing the gospel with people. Tonight, if you've not started on your road to these privileges, if you're not a Christian, tonight is the time for you to start. You've heard the word. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess that before men. Turn from your sin and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Tonight, if you need the prayers of the church, we're here for you. And we want to pray for you. And we want to love you. The invitation is yours. Come as we stand.